the loss of the mucus plug, you have a show of blood. People, we have actually the last of the simonim in Hilchos Nida that it deserves most likely as much time as it gave to all the others, and involves some of the most common halacha lamaisa shailas that occur today. Again, with all kinds of minhogim, superstitions, whatever comes together in this thing, as we'll see. The key is for you people to pose your own questions. By that I mean, there are, it seems, in Chelek Aleph Yeridei, Niglas Moshe, he hits on a whole bunch of very practical shailas. Woman went in with a contact lens. Woman went in with a filling in her tooth that a dentist just put in, and she has to go back tomorrow because it's uncomfortable. Another one went in with a filling in a tooth, and the dentist said, come back in 3 months and we'll make you a cap. All these are different cases, halacha l'maaseh. The problem is that we haven't defined chatzitza in detail. And that's the task in Kuf Tzadik Ches. I want to introduce it so that it'll Hashem stick with you. There are 48 sifim in Sim Kuf Tzadik Ches. Not particularly difficult to understand, except those that are based upon a view of nature that's at variance with ours, and not our view of nature, but in variance with our nature. Different problem, Mishtana Teva or something like that. Anyway, I want to begin in a pedagogically sound way by introducing what was until Dona sperm came on the market, what was the most infamous tshuva of the English Moshe, one that caused the greatest controversy and made him his reputation. This tshuva is earned in his keep. Okay. That's 70 years ago. Wow. Right?
Yeah. Before even this, what do we call it? It's Tav Shin, Tav Reish.
Yeah.
It's also a Luban.
Okay. Now, Tzadik Dalet, 6 years, and Samachay, right?
Yeah.
71 years ago. Okay? What date would that be in English?
1934?
April 34.
Yeah?
1934?
April 34.
Yeah, 34. Right. Okay. Yisrael was born in 95. He was 40 years old then. And there was a Rav in Slutsk, which was the big town next to Luban. I was there when we went to visit Luban. Slutsk is also where Issachar Zalman Meltzer, which is the only official rebbe that Rabbi Tanakh had.
birth for 9 months with him in Slutsk. That was the only exposure to, quote, yeshiva life, Kola life. It was a yeshiva then. Mr. Dalman Meltzer and Mr. Dalman was surely the recognized Gadol HaDor at the time. In competition with Chaim Oizo of Vilna. The Rav in Sultz then was the Kreskol Lavrovsky. And Shaila came to the Kreskol Lavrovsky, and then the Shaila was sent to the Moshe as well. Kreskol Lavrovsky asked this woman from ever going to the mikveh again. Okay, she is the woman who had a mastoid operation in those days. You would know what it is. Well, family don't have it nowadays. And the pre-antibiotic era, an ear infection could lead to a infection of the mastoid bone and go up to the brain. It was a fatal infection. And the treatment was surgical. Cut away a whole bunch of bony structure there to get rid of the infection. The mechanical removal of the infected area. That left an access through the ear, through the eustachian tube, right, up to the base of the brain.
They had to close it up.
Hmm?
So they had to close it up.
They did close it.
No, but they had to put something there from under the water.
In order for that woman to go to mikveh, she had to seal the seal over the skin. Actually, there was no bone here. It was just a flap of skin covered, right? In order for the water not to go in, one way to do it is to block. No, you had to go to mikveh with an ear stuffed with cotton. Because sometimes the outside of it, there's no way. In cases, whatever they want to do, if you get a get, to divorce his wife. Came to the Moshe, which was Matar. The one who wrote in the children was the one where the Treblik. The Treblik's son then became the Rav of Chabad in Eretz Yisrael, the Chabad, of Kibbutz Chabad, or whatever you call it. My share had some kind of ongoing relationship with Chabad, largely because of that. Only because of that. But there was a friendship, kind of a familial, or a familial engendered friendship between Chabad and Israel because of his contact with Chednik, who then became very. He may have become also, he might have himself become the first Vyasev of the Chabad in Eretz Yisrael, and his son came over Chabad. To visit in Chabad, I got a hero's welcome because of my relationship with the Moshe. This is the tshuva that was a shot heard around the world where the battle was met between the Avramsky and Asher, and they sent it to of Chaim Oizer of Vilna for resolution. They have entered to the Bezdin. The only formal Bezdin that existed was the Abel of Bezdin of Vilna. That's why I think I mentioned to you Rav Gusman Yochanan Rocha was the newest appointed member, the youngest member of the Bezdin in Vilna before the war. And then Gusman came to America. Was unsuccessful in trying to organize a yeshiva here, and went to Eretz Yisrael and became very successful. I had a wonderful yeshiva at Eretz Yisrael. I got involved with him when his wife came down with cancer, and so I come to America, stayed at our house, and they sent me with a family. Kedumah Bezdin ruled in favor of Moshe. That's what made him his reputation. Moshe was a young girl who went to live, maybe an older one, 20 years a senior or more. After doing the best, he ruled with Moshe, gave him his imprimatur to kill the host of you. Until that time, he was very famous locally among his 100 and so Balabatim. Yeah, but wasn't well known. This gave him then national prominence, and from that time on, his address became a necessary stopover for any Bishayla. You have to Shayla, you have to check, see what Moshe wanted to say on Shayla. And that launched the Eagles Moshe and gave him the confidence that he used to tell us. Chaim Moshe ruled for him against he whom he considered to be his superior and senior. Rav Amramsky gave him the confidence to start up with everybody else. This is where years later, Rav Wussman reported to me the proceedings of that Besdin. I mentioned it to you. Rav Chaim Moshe said, I have the tshuva of Moshe, but I wrote my own tshuva also. After reading the Moshe's tshuva, I was embarrassed to show it to you. Two, he said, two is yeshiva voice talk. This was a professional job that the Moshe sent it. And then he said something very strange. Listen, putting word for word, he said, whenever the Moshe or his brother the Mordechai are passing, he says, you cannot oppose their shot because they studied Torah with the Ezra HaSofer. Therefore, they had a direct line of transmission. I heard that reported from others, and he told others, then when I got close to Rav Wussman, I asked him for a shot. What do you mean he studied with Ezra HaSofer? Okay, because he skips over all the achronim before that. And he goes right to the source. We get lost. He said. And no one goes back to Ezra HaSofer and asks him, what did Kodesh Baruch Hu say? He goes back to Ezra HaSofer, the one that he held in even higher esteem was his brother Lemotra, who was the Rav of Shklov there. In the Egos, back on the photocopy, it's a big section of your day. All of it is on Chatzitza. But it's for your attention to the case we'll be referring to in the Siman Tzadik Zayin, being in a plumber filling Zmanis, Shvu Shimo B'Nekev Hashem, Imru Chatzitza. And that was written. The Malas Kodi, Ochi Ahuvi Hagon Hagodol, and Ramot Sashita Hagod Mabez Shlov. That was written to his brother, the Tshuva. That's the Tshuva Sinatari Zion. And a lengthy Tshuva, which impacts so heavily this Manazel, where dentistry has become so invasive, and they do all kinds of crazy things to people's teeth, leaving them with artificial stuff in the mouth. And what happens from a simple filling? And I'm trying to lay the psychological groundwork for this sugya. The Shver had a nephew, Rav Michal Feinstein, that's how. The son-in-law of the Briskov of Ravelbu. He married daughter of Ravu Lipshe. Lipshe and Nichol had a real love affair. They got engaged in Europe before the war. And they got married in America after the war. They waited for each other. They were all youngsters at that time. And Lipshe was already 40 years old when she got married. And we were very close, taking us largely. And Baruch Hashem had a mess of children after that, post age 40. Mess of children mean two sons, seven children. One daughter died from an asthma attack on Tisha B'Av, where she wouldn't carry inhalator with her on Shabbos on Sunday, Yitzchak Sunday Tisha B'Av. She had a dramatic attack, got into the hospital, and she didn't survive. She died on Tisha B'Av. The son now heads up yeshiva. Michael had a very successful yeshiva in Tel Aviv, and now it's been run by David, one of Michael's children. Lipshe Blister. The whole insight in the Blister psychology and Blister Kumkat. She needed some dental work, some fillings. But her father passed them that a filling is a chasita and can't go to the mikveh with it. So she had all her teeth removed. And she had, the young woman had false teeth, and two dentures on the top and bottom. And she had no fillings. Okay. Give you an idea. Don't say skin fat. Lipshe was a Belgian daughter, Lipshe, married to my Shrael's nephew, the Nichol Feinstein. Okay? Another view of our office. This Shuvah written to the Morta Mishlov, the Moshe's brother, about whom we used to say there was one Feinstein that knew how to learn. No, my brother Mark. That was the truth written to him on the filling, the man issue, Sima Benekir Hashem, the man in Mimuchat Sitzana. And you see the Mosa argued with him, and there's correspondence, Od Mis Hanal, Od Hanal, they're back in it. It's really compulsory that you people won't go through. I can make you a copy of this, but. There are like 30 pages involved in, or 40 pages involved in the Chasitza Inyan. Most of you have the Igus Moshe. So you can look at it yourself. If you don't have the Igus Moshe, you can't buy it anymore. And off the market. It'll be available in Yisrael in about 3.5 weeks. Another printing is coming up.
Which
Simon is that? Not the one I gave you. The Simit Sadu Zion, but I'm not got pages here, not the money, but you have, I'll tell you basically what you're dealing with. It starts off really at Simit Sadu Vod. Chut Basel Shor Al Shinayim Leyashram. In Hukatitsa, referring to a brace. And from there he goes to fillings, he goes to the tshuva that I just handed out to you, the first page. You make
enough of them, I don't think. If you people weren't coming, you'd want to make instant shameless. So, yeah, there's two more.
This is just the first page, it's a Philip Dadi Kess, and I spoke about I'm putting it happened in the year before Tila for this woman who had this mastoidectomy and couldn't have let any water into the ear. I'm sorry, I was stingy today, but it's... And then this continues a whole bunch of hadiths that are relevant to local Maaseh. Then whole building goes down to Simi Kubdalin concerns an artificial eye and contact lens. A woman who has a fake eye, you know, and then she go to mikveh with it. She's embarrassed to go without it. The sugi is very nicely organized. Yehudaya 1 was very well organized according to the Yehudaya. Then goes into basically chatzitza in mikvah. That is what is called a chatzitza, not in the woman, but in the mikvah. Remember chatzitza in the mikvah? Meaning davar that's chotzeitz between the woman and the mayim shelim, regarding kashrus of the mikvah itself, concerning what kind of closures are acceptable, what kind of floor is acceptable, it should be a double amakabal tumma, and so on and so forth. So, if you get a chance to talk a little bit about the floors, that's one of the big yonim as well.
My wife just went to the dentist, and he told her, he's a fun guy, he told her that sometimes a woman will come, he's put a cap on her tooth,
they know.
Will come, take it off and just come back an hour later and put it back on. He said it's very embarrassing for her to do that. But
this is, I think you boys know my next door neighbor, number 2 floor with LA. I'm number 4 is Bobby Burson. He graduated here, he's my dentist. If you see me coming from the garage, carrying a shopping bag, you know it's because one of his kids forgot something. So I serve as the UPS service. He forgot his underwear, forgot his shirt. Thank God the head is attached. People come to me with a shayla. He's my posik. He solved the problem. Making a shayla takes up all kinds of complicated contraptions that we wear in the house now. It's become almost a full-time job. I think I could most likely, if I kept schedule of my time, I could most likely live with advertising. Be a full-time job answering only dental shaylas. Bigger shaylas are, of course, the point of some people dying. People not on, can't have children. Those are two big areas that I'm involved in. But in time and numbers, the biggest shayras are not events. Why? Well, Hashem, our people have money. You have a woman with 7 children, right? Not looking for shidduch, decides she hasn't had the teeth straightened. Because the people must bother you. You have a shidduch already. You're married. You have a bunch of children. You're worrying about shidduchim for your daughters already. Right? No, Baruch Hashem, she has the money. And she's always been bothered by the fact that her teeth are crooked. You know, with adult teeth are crooked, means always all kinds of metallurgy goes in there, all kinds of shit. Instant shayla, which hasn't been answered yet, is because older women are doing it, and they're embarrassed to look like kids wearing braces, they now develop braces that hooked on the back only. And they are light colored, not metal looking. They look something like enamel. Does that change the halacha chatzitza? Since we're seeing chatzitza, there's a concept of makpedes. Near to Eina makpedes is Muslim. All these come up from fresh Rishadon began like a year ago, but maybe someone developed a method instead of putting the base on the front. In the case on the back of the teeth, so it's not near there. That doesn't change the chatzitza aspect, it changes the hakpoda aspect. That means my kibbutz or not. Okay. Let me see if I make a little headway today, so really introduce it, and next week to try to finish it, close to finish it.
Do they go in every month to have this stuff removed and then put back on an hour later?
The what?
So do women go to the dentist every month to have all this work removed and put back an hour later?
That's not the word about.
Others, we find some material for that, but there are many cases now. In the women, almost most of them have to have it removed before tefillah. That is a hatitza, because most of them have like a 14-year-old girl, and they walk around this way, you know, fake a smile which people shouldn't see that they're wearing braces. That's really niyut to my fetus. That's chutzis.
It's not just the water, though.
Huh?
Not just the water.
But what?
The teeth are
outside the water. Teeth are outside the water. Okay, to come to. Yeah, but it has to be, it's not based on stolen. It has to be royal bias mayim. It doesn't need bias mayim, it needs royal bias mayim. That's why a piece of chicken stuck in the teeth. I mentioned yesterday, Rabuch, that's why women before they go to mikveh won't eat meat or chicken. Because Ramor says that's a minig Yosho, it's a minig Nochon. Because a piece of chicken stuck in the tooth is a miyut she makpedes. She doesn't want to be seen with a piece of chicken in her tooth.
Why
does
she use
that
for?
Okay?
Why
does
she
use that for? They do. Since it's something you have to take out, it's a minig Nochon, they don't eat. She has confidence in herself that she can use dental floss properly. The fact is, people use dental floss and there's still stuff in the teeth. That's why the dentist has to use then some kind of microwave blowtorch or something to get the stuff off. Okay.
What about plaque?
Plaque,
everybody is
plaque. Okay, again, all these are proper questions. Right. Plaque came from who? Not from me. Your plaque came from you. But it comes from you, is you. It's okay. That's
not
a problem.
Far. It's just something you're not able to clean up.
I'm sorry?
It's just something you're not able to scrape off because you don't have the right tool.
I know people who are unhappy with their noses. Right? That doesn't make the nose a chatitza.
No, but the dentist scrapes off the plaque when you go to the dentist. He has the instrument to scrape it off.
Yeah, takes it off. But that, if he doesn't take it off, there's no shadow of chatitza on that. Because you are your plaque, and your plaque is you. It's not a chatitza. Chatitza has to be an extraneous material. It's not an extraneous material. Okay. Come out of here. Let's see here. See, I think the way we'll do best over here is to run through the see what falls under the category. Oh, no, I'm going to give just one hakdama. I'll leave out the machokas yet. We'll pick it up. Miut, the ain of my credits is not kosher. Rubo umakpedes is chotes midoraisa. Rubo veina makpedes is chotes midrabonim. Miut umakpedes is chotes midrabonim. You with us?
No. What did
you say? Okay. Makpedes means she doesn't want to have it on, or there are times when this double, as chotes, would be unacceptable to her. The classic example that to keep in mind is that a woman wearing a ring, a fine diamond ring, Vadaish is not makpedes to be seen publicly with a diamond ring. But when she makes challah, she's makpedes to take that ring off and not need the flower with the ring, that makes it makpedes. We define makpedes as under no circumstances will she object to have the ring on her. since there are circumstances where she's going to have a minyan, that's also very poor makhtesis. That's the time of makhtesis. Okay. Miut, Veina Makhtesis, would mean that she can go swimming with a rubber suit where the 49% of her body does not get wet. It's a meal. It's Aina Makhtesis. She doesn't mind wearing a bathing suit. She wants to wear a bathing suit. But, so, the Raisa is not functioning in our lives today. We're dealing with the abundance of my pets. That's important, because when Shaila's come up, you have to understand, you start off with a Rabbanon. That makes life a little easier. Then you have Rabbanon, Tev Rabbanon, Shasakar, etc. Okay? Second, your head is not part of your body. By that I mean, except for the Rambam, almost all the Shonen hold, that Seir HaRosh is a unit unto itself. And Rov and Miut is measured by the head, not by the whole body. Any place where there's hair, the armpit, the pubic hair, is not measured Miut and Rov as part of a whole body, but as if this were a unit unto itself. The only one who disagrees is the Rambam that lumps Seir as part of the body. But all the other Rishonim keep Seir as a unitary component of the body, where Rov and Miut is measured by the small haired area of hair growth. Unlike the hairless area of the body, which are measured altogether, the Gabir Rov and Miut. Therefore, in the hair, we see the Rauchumus. Hafifo, which basically is a heavier concentration on getting the head clean, getting the hair, and then making sure that the hairs are not tangled, that the hairs are, each one, hanging free. That's the main emphasis of Hafifo. That's the difficult part of Hafifo. Women, check with your wives, but women generally do not wash their hair regularly. You take a shower, the shower spills on your head, and the head goes on to the rest of your body. Women generally will put on a bathing cap, and they take a shower, except once a week or twice a week, whatever their custom is, because the hair has a special care that has to have to give it. It's a whole toilet with conditioners and thickeners and all kinds of business, and they can't wash that out. It's so regularly. That also speaks to this same thing, that this hair is treated in our lives, and in the women's lives, also with different clothing of what's called acceptable sanitation and so on and so forth. Okay, I think that's what we need to start.
What is that the vice or a bottom with the hair?
If those are holes, it's a separate use of the vice.
The vice with the hair is kept entangled.
Those who treat, as the halacha does, the hair as a not part of the group that got a meal from home, right? That's what you know.
And also, well, what does it mean that you view it as a unit? Certainly, wherever the hair is, the hair will be a robe. The hair will be a robe. I mean, is it, what's the robe? The hair or the tangle?
The hair. I have the hair under my armpits.
Right.
So, if over there, if most of the hair, the armpit, is matted, so it just came back from playing a basketball game, and they have matted the hair together, right? And Hugo will be matted, then they don't feel the eyes. Okay.
What does the word chafifa literally mean?
Huh?
What does the word chafifa literally mean?
I think it literally means spreading apart. Flayed.
Just review the news game, Machpedes, Rubo, Machpedes, that,
yes. Rubo, Machpedes, and the Reise. Rubo, Venga, Machpedes, and Rabon. Miut, Venga, Machpedes, is okay in Rabon, too. Miut, Machpedes, is also in Rabon.
See what we have over here. Dini Tfilo B'chatzisa. Start off with a relatively obvious halacha. Tzicha shetitfol kol gufo b'kamachas. Unlike Hagolas Talim, we can go ahead and dump in hot water half the tailing and then turn the other half over. Tfilas tailing, however, requires that you dump the whole tailing at once. You can't be toggled half a tree and then toggle the other half a tree. Same halacha, I mentioned tailing, but that's really the motto for Tfilas Tfilas. Likewise, by leader, she can't be toggled partly, so that the muscle. She was Tovelis, and then she found that she had left a piece of adhesive tape on her hand, which is a need of Tzetzet, need of Makedis, and she said, Tzetzet, so fine, she'll take it off and stuck it in the mikveh. No, let's go back into the whole mikveh. It must have tefillah kol gufo v'vasachas. Lefikach, so she yoleh shum dover ha-chotzeis, ha-tefillah kol shehu. In derech be'odom lepomim lahakpid olav, choseis afilu im eina makpedas olav ato. I gave you that example of the ring, right? Where she's makpedas, shas nisho. How often does she do nisho? Nevertheless, it's called makpedas, right? O afilu eina makpedas olav olam, or she doesn't take her ring off when she kneads the dough. She doesn't have a diamond that she's afraid will fall out into the batter. She has a simple gold band, and the gold band is pretty tight onto her finger. Otherwise, there'd be no shaiva of makpedas. if it were loose on a finger, you see, it wouldn't be called chotzitz. Maybe only eitz tova kamashmalon, a kind of a zera, not to have anything on your hand. But if you have a loose ring where the water can enter in the ring, there's no tata shaila of chotzitz. So you talk about a ring that, in the course of the last 10 years of marriage, she added a few pounds. Right. And the ring is no longer easily removable. If she had to remove it, she must have had to go to a jeweler and cut it off. Right. So she's Eina Makpedis, and she never takes it off. Right. But other people take it off. It's also Makpedis. It goes the chumah both ways. If it's something that other people are not Makpid, but she's Makpid, it's called Makpedis. If it's something that she's not Makpedis, but other people are Makpid, then it's also called Makpedis.
What if it's impossible to take off? What if it's impossible? It's stuck. There's no way to get it off.
Hmm. Or you move the finger. She has to cut it off.
Cut the finger off.
You have it all the time. And all the other... Yeah. Today is Wednesday. Monday night, Monday night, I come home from a chasana, it's relatively late, 11:15, the woman waiting at the door. She can't get the ring off. So the mikvah said to come to my house, maybe I have a nitzah for her. But the woman wanted to do a psak din that before she can't take it off, to be matzah to go to mikvah in our matzah. So maybe I'll see certain circumstances. Not. So we, business of getting the ring off. Okay, so have her hold her hand up right, against the wall for 5 minutes. Right, and my wife took a bag of ice cubes and placed it on the hand. Yeah, and then I had for my automobile a silicone spray. I sprayed it with silicone, managed to get it off. There. But that's not to become a problem. Women not realizing it. Come summertime, the mushroom. Their fingers swell. I don't know, maybe they don't know why, but they do. I know my own wife doesn't wear a marriage ring during the summer. She takes it off when she first feels it getting tight. She'll take it off, put it in the safe. Yeah. But by women, maybe men too, maybe, but it's not that much place to see. But summertime, the fingers swell. Yeah. It's a big problem with liquid, of course. Vim hu chofer hohagu. Apilo in der Bnadam Akri, Bekach, also Chotzitz. Ulechat Chila, which one is yours? Ulechat Chila, lo tikpo, apilo bidvorem she'en on Chotzitzin, zera otu idvorem ha-Chotzitzin. Okay. Here we'll define lechat Chila b'dievet. So, let me tell you, alokhala maise. You marry folks, you should have a portable mikveh. A portable mikveh consists of tennis shorts and a polo shirt, one size too large. And that's what a woman carries with her when you travel with your wife in a place where there may not be a mikveh, but there's an ocean. Then we matter her to go to mikveh with this so-called portable mikveh, namely wearing a pair of tennis shorts which don't have any elastic, right? And a polo shirt. She can't go into the mikveh naked, because Allah is, we'll see later, that there she is in the parkendis, that someone will see her on the beach. They wait until nightfall, but go out a bunch of Mishigoyim also. You'll be marching around there. But for your wife to go into the water, it's a very
dark, and she's going in, she decided she'll have to go in for a swim. Among the Meshugoyim that go to those places for vacation, there's no problem. It will not raise any eyebrows. So she doesn't have any tension on her. That she has to go in and out. So she can be frivolous. There, the husband stays on the beach, or goes in preparatively, and I ask them, publish also a painting, so go in with her in the water, so you can see that she went under properly. Yeah, the go here floated to the top, and it's
but such a circumstance is called b'di'evet. It's the time you worked out that you couldn't get to mikveh before you left on vacation, but you'll be going to mikveh a day or so later, and there is a body of water that's kosher. Now, just I don't know how much when you will get into mikveh or not. But remember, most lakes are not kosher for tefillah. Okay, most lakes are. It's all clean.
Mm-hmm.
Most lakes are water is in motion, inland and outland. Second, the hope that a lake is mayon, meaning it's fed from the bottom, and therefore zolfin is okay, and a mayon is a miso zolfin. Mikre mayon is only by mayon, but by a natural, what's called a mayon, a natural well. Coming up there, water could be moving past also, it's also kosher. The oceans have a lot of mayim. That also is not easy to determine. There are such lakes where eco water comes to the bottom, but you need to do homework with the forest ranger service, and have some input. Information about specific lakes that I had to check up for people there. But by and large, you find that most of the lakes get their water or runoff from the mountains. And therefore, Zolklin will possibly with Nidalaisa. That was often possible. So that consumption of natural body of water is not guaranteed. Ocean is okay. Yeah, being salty water, that's a lot of mine.
How does Rami interpret the Ramah says that by rivers that in the rainy season that there for every drop of water that comes down that
into the walls want to interpret that.
But like I know in some places they have like for a lake they have like a more shot, they have like a booth. Like they have like you know for the room to
the walls?
Be silver, yeah.
Yeah,
they have like a booth that basically around like in a certain part of the
made a mikveh.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's not a problem.
Made a mikveh and use the water from the lake. You have to find out that the lake is the good water to use.
Right.
But
assuming you
okay. The lake water, if I pass our lake, could become kosher on August 30th, the lake will become kosher. Why? The water dropped below the level of the sluice of the dam, the water goes over the lake, and then it came into mine. It's not made from mine, but it's open. But it comes with the dry season, the end of August, and then much rain, and the water level, that's how you know, by the way, that the lake is largely fed by runoff water. If it's fed by streams, there's hardly a difference between springtime and end of summer. The levels stay the same. But if the level of the lake drops significantly, 7, 8, 9 feet, right, then you know that's because there's no runoff water. But that's pretty false. That's not Hachana Litvila. We're talking now Hachana Litvila. How are you doing, David? Yeah. I'm sorry?
Okay.
Elo hadvarim shechotzitzim. So again, people try to get a psychological set of a common denominator between these things that are listed. Try to get pedagogically give you a way to remember. Okay. Chuti tzema v'chuti pishton. Uvitzu shekochem behem aser behosh. Okay. What does that mean? The ribbons that girls use to tie their braids, right? Lo tikvo behem ashet rafeim. She shouldn't go mikveh until she loosens them. Don't take them off. Right? But if they are tightly braided, right? So to loosen the braiding. Vim chas vim heim besol clear sail. If, however, they are, like you see, the blacks have their dreadlocks, right? The dreadlocks. That is, like I mentioned, some people, when the Indian shaitel shine came up, that the main use of Indian hair is not for shaitel, but for the shaitel. And you think it's their hair, all kinds of curls, so on, that's artificial hair woven in. That's why you see in beauty shops, if you pass by the Dominican Republic there on St. Nicholas Avenue, you see all the signs, $20, $30, a big sign out there for some strange person in beauty hair. These are the grading, special grading. That is artificial stuff woven into the hair, and some of them have beads, glistening things, stuck in there and so on. There, because it is braided in the hair, it's made very tight, therefore it's chotzitz. Right? Ain't a more than rifshot. You make kruch and bisham and kovot the goof. Lo tipo behem ad chitterotem. Chutz meim kruchim bitzavo. Right? Unless you have, as especially the women like to wear some kind of ornamentation, a fairly tight, right, thing around the neck. Why? She'en el chotisin, fish ain't mahatvan. Right. Assumption is they don't make it too tight. Right? Make it too tight, then the tongue hangs out, so it's not nice to walk in the street like that. Aval katla, shiritzur chaloko rochovo shekorecha sovim savora, chotetes, bifnei shechonekes atzma bachozek, deishiv so bolet, tira balas boso. How the times have changed. Right? You know who has that today? Marines. Interesting. I noticed. Your tour guide's West Point. And Marines wear a leather collar. I think it's a tabore from the days of the sword stroke. It's worn as, I think, armament. But it's a heavy leather collar. Very, very tight. Keeps the head up straight. And in those days, women wore a heavy leather collar so that the face would look fat. But the slum and slum, most people were emaciated, anemic, from hunger. So to look nice, they had to look rosy, or like the women used to do before, those who couldn't afford the cosmetics would go on a date, you pinch the cheek to make the cheeks look pink, look red. This one is put on tight because she wants to look like a balas boso. She wants to look like she has a second chin. Right? Okay. We told Shalatu Chaloko Rechova, Eina Maznikosa. Aye, she's choking herself. So that's a fact. A strangler uses a telephone wire. If you have a wide thing, it doesn't put that much pressure in any one place. So she doesn't choke from it. Nevertheless, it is very tight and doesn't allow for the water to come in. Im achutim ha'elu chalulim osu imashes reshes, einam chotetzim.
That's why you end up having to tie your shoes again. Tie your shoelace untied.
You can't make a good, you have to make a double, not to make it sound tight. How come you make a ball, why don't you die? The answer is, it's never tight, tight, why? But it's nice and delicious. This is woven shoelaces, like polished shoelaces, right? Therefore, there's always a give in the material itself. You never can get a tight. Therefore, if it's my seleshes, you can't get it to go real tight. Then the same holds it. Okay.
And knitwear, my seleshes, knitwear there doesn't say if you use Balabatisha ways to remember that often, it works out. Say I know. That's my shoelace untied because the Gemara says that it's Saint of Hosea. Right. Okay. Hute Seo, Enam Hosea. I don't exactly know what that means, but whatever it is, it's here and here. We'll see that from later on, that here and here doesn't tie well. Only single hairs tie well. A knot on a single hair, the knot pulls tight so that in that knot, no water can enter. But if I try to tie hairs together, which is basically braiding, I braid a bunch of hairs with each other, I'd never make it so tight that it shouldn't allow water to enter. That's it. Vim hoyu muzobos. If, however, the chutin seir were gilded, then it's chotzeis for a different reason, that she objects to it being on her, because they are value, I guess, I don't know what the gold was, but anyway, it deserved more attention, more protection. And if the false braids had gotten dirty, she was working with chickens, chicken flicker, and then could be blood on there and dirt on there. Then she objects to going into the water with the dirty braids because she doesn't want the dirt to leak on her. Therefore, it's also positive. Next, Shtei Sa'aros or Yosef Shem Shulet Ke Echad, Kesher Echad Eino Chotetzin. Vein Chilok Beinim Kosher Beiseros and Shtei Seros or Beisero Feratzman. But Sa'aro Achashe Nikshiro Chotetzis. But if one hair gets knotted, that's why Chotetzis. If one hair has a knot in it, that's Chotetz. Who should take makpeda soler? Abul amena makpeda soler also a tefila chiyah rov saro kosher nimo b'fnei atzma. Okay, because that's if it's ena makpeda, it's a miut. Yeah, it's a ketzitza. So if one hair gets knotted, as a knot on the hair, I don't know, by women, but I know by men, sometimes when you comb your beard, you find at the end of the beard a hair seems to have gotten knotted, a clump, a little clump of hair. Develop. That is what the shtei saros and shtei saros, not a single hair knotted on itself. Therefore, say no chotzes, because it doesn't form a tight knot. You can't make a tight knot that way. Water shouldn't be able to enter. Jump to one here. Here we have to here. How to jump to this one? Here comes a little bit the superstition that I mentioned before.
So I understand, according to Salah, when women comb their hair out, so I mean, what are they accomplishing? They're not going to comb out if single hairs that are knotted with each other. That a comb won't get that out. So what are they accomplishing?
In other words,
if she isn't the nervous wife, and sits there while reading and twirls the hair so that she can knot a single knot on herself, you know, the hakifa is enough to separate the two hairs, should be something like
that. No, we just said that's not a hakifa. We just said that's not a hakifa, though.
Yeah, I say. So therefore, the purpose of combing the hair is to separate the knot on her hair. Not on her hair, she most likely won't be aware of. Unless she had a lot of them. That's the next level. The only time the Baba Khatifa will reveal to her, as the comb goes through, it gets stuck. However, she's thinking for a knot, and so long she has trouble, she has to cut those knots off. So watch what happens.
Here's where superstition plays a role. Alright? Look above. Say how she can make it halev, or she has a zokan, I didn't look there, Machmazeya Chotzitz. Okay. A woman with a beard, immediately telling the halacha for men too. When man had to go to mikveh. Shebarosh, Shebarosh HaShechi, Eina Chotzitz. Right? And she also mokom, Be'ish Eina Chotzitz, Be'ish Menesua Chotzitz, Menui Eina Chotzitz. But she's like Pedis, that she should not have any hair that is matted in the pubic area because it's not nice for her husband. Then goes the mo. The osan sheshlan kamin kleos aros devuko zubazu. Those who wake up in the morning and find their hair tangled, the nasas balayla they shed. How does that happen? There's a shed called Dalila, and she comes at night, there's nothing better to do, and she makes these things. And if you open them up, she'll be angry and punish you. Sakono lasirim, then lo chaitzi. Then that's not considered to be a chaitzitza. Okay. That is a, believe it or not, a very important halacha. Okay. Look at the shach. Yeralev. Kliyos saros. Hainu mashikolam boloshen. Marzap. Or malakin. Marlakin. The locks of the devil Mar. Coltiness. You see in my Shel Shubis, he refers to it as coltiness. The Chenu B'drisha B'adar Enela, so Dashadev refers to it as coltiness. Okay. Eina Chosis. Vein Chile B'kam Ein Tosho Shiyomim, L'Achigim Al Yomim. As I said. Okay.
Well, why say this is a very important halacha? This halacha, you enter a shayla. A dentist did surgery work, not orthodontistry, but had her take out a wisdom tooth. Right? She proved to be too smart for her husband, but to save the marriage, sent it to the dentist to take out the wisdom tooth. Right? But they take out the wisdom teeth, he puts a few stitches in it. Now those stitches are shayla. Second, more dramatic case, the wife had a basal cell tumor on the nose. Women of our generation suffer greatly from basal cell tumors. Every few months, I hear when another woman had to go in and they have to have a very choshuva dermatologist, an oncological dermatologist. The Muslim community, she's head of
dermatology at Columbia. Nice form fellow, and especially skilled to do little slices. But the more MOHR, the more method. Every few weeks, one of my members in Bahama, I know he shows up with a bandage. Men, women, why? Because they were sun worshippers. Right. In the days before people began to think twice about time being a vacation, they're coming home with a heavy tan. And therefore, they're coming down with these basal cell tumors. And sometimes, if deep enough, they have to take a stitch. And she has to go to mikveh.
That
stitch, if they shed his makvedis, not to untie the knot that she made, and Dr. Eliezeri is also makved, he shouldn't untie the knot that he made. In other words, what does it mean? If it's solech haguf, you say it's a sakana, I mean, of course, never. So whatever it is, right? It means it's a solech haguf, and it's not chotzitz. What solech haguf is bota legabe haguf. Therefore, we have very important halacha lamaisa. A woman went to the dentist and he took a few stitches, he took out the wisdom teeth. They always require some stitches. And the stitches can't come out until it's fully healed. No shaila, ain't a chotzitz. But the fact is that she went into the dentist on Monday. And the dentist gave another appointment on Monday. But really, the stitches could come out on Wednesday. Plenty you know. But the dentist didn't think any more needed an extra day or two, because it fits his schedule better than it's chotzitz. Therefore, a woman goes to the dentist, she has to ask, when could they come out? And when they can come out, she has to make an appointment, and she come out. If it's surely it's time when she has to go to the mikveh. Under the mikveh, no problem. But she has to go to the mikveh, right? Then he has to, as long as it's in and doing its function of holding the tissue together, it shouldn't separate until the tissues grow together. That's Torah Chaguf. That we'll see later in the Lashon. The VCD day, its growth. It's the VCD day. It's necessary for the growth of the body. Once it is necessary for the scheduling of the dentist, that's ready for
six. Also, regular stitches.
Sorry?
Also, regular stitches on the body?
Also, we live in a crazy world, right? Women in Muncie, the weather is good, ride bicycles also. Tough thing is to ride around the streets in Muncie, so they put the bicycles in one of these monstrous trucks that they drive, and they have an excuse to have three children, so they buy a truck, right? They call it SUV, but it's a monstrous truck. Put the bicycle in, go down to on the Palisades, the bike path, and they fall off the bike. They fall off the bike, they end up with stitches. Every few months, we have a shaila. One of the women has stitches, when can she go to make them? I have to call the doctor and say, when is, I have my friend, he's also a doctor, he's a surgeon, he knows how to take out stitches. And although you should know anybody can take out stitches, you can take out yourself, you don't need a doctor to take out the stitches. Maybe the doctor put in the stitches, but take them out, is anybody take them out, there's nothing to take out. So, look, there's a little knot. Take a scissors, cut off the knot. That's it. Cut off the knot and just pull out the stitches. So what he's going to do, he's not doing anything fancy than that. And when you find out when the stitches will come out, you take out the stitches and go to mikveh. As long as you can't take out the stitches, you go to stitches. Go to mikveh with the stitches. Just so that she, my yishma will be low, where she should stop riding a bicycle. Then you tell her if there's any loose thread, she clip off the loose thread there. So if you think the loose thread is not close to its anything, if the loose thread doesn't stick to the skin, there's a little bit of tag in the thread, that does make it.
Disposable stitches that just dissolve in the mouth, would those be enough for that?
as long as the truth is, it's my practice. In other words, she opens her mouth, as you'll see in the sutra, she opens her mouth, doesn't want anyone to see the stitches. So it's a miracle method.
They're not visible.
Yeah?
They're not visible.
No,
if they're from within,
the absorbable stitches are visible. They absorb in time. They look like regular stitches.
But if they're from wisdom teeth, then they're all the way in the back of the
That's now another sutra. That's known as basa stone. How we define basa stone. And basa stone, right, is anapotis. We'll see. A little bit of the sugya I gave you on the top of the ear touches on that sugya. Where how far in is called basa stone, and we know that need roy the be a smile in the mouth. How far in the mouth is called? Why? Because it says you should not clamp your lips together when going into the mikra, leaving just naturally, then it's called royalty of smile. But if you make an effort that no water should go in, by clamping your lips, then it's improper, but that makes it an ale royalty of smile. Okay, this idea was a complex sugya. I think the quality already pretty well have. We'll see how it develops. But we'll make use of the truest. I could photocopy everything to you, but don't you people don't pay tuition for that. That's what they advertise it. We don't charge tuition for the shiva. Say no tuition, you're entitled to many services. Yeah.
Actually this has to do with Payas Payas here. I saw a picture of Rav Moshe Lishalom as Payas here.